Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motene. If you have been listening to the news, well, the minister in the presidency has been in the news for the past couple of days, and it's all about a corruption case that dates back to 2009. Well, the DA's Diane Colabanat, you may know her, she's an MP. She's written to the presidency asking the president to, you know, really look at the allegations, and this matter has also gone to the NPA already. And she's saying, well, what's the president going to do about this? On the line with us this evening is MP Diane Colabanat, is a DA MP, just to give us a sense of exactly what they're unhappy about. Thank you very much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, my pleasure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the actual concerns. I mean, we know that the allegations came through, but it's not just allegations now. They've now been referred to the NPA.
It has indeed. The Hawks have been investigating this since about 2000 and one, I think. About 2010, I'd say. Look, the whole issue is around her tenure as the municipal manager of Phalaborwa local municipality. And the municipality embarked upon a tender process, and they were looking for an audit firm to produce financial statements, and the budget was $584,000. They opened applications, they closed applications, five applicants had submitted bids, and out the blue, not one of them was included, but one that had not met the deadline or entered was Makwanda Chartered Accountants. And that was the one selected as the preferred provider by the now minister. Mm-hmm. Now, the costs then ballooned from $584,000 up to $2.3 million. So one has to ask what on earth was going on. The Auditor General was furious and said the process had been irregular and detrimental to fairness and efficiency. And the judge, it went to the High Court. The judge, Gerrit Muller, said that the tender process was repugnant and devastating. And he was the one who referred the matter to both the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority. Well, that case has gone on and on. It's been fully investigated and is now, as you say, sitting with the NPA. Now, that brings us to where the minister is now. Now, surely the president knew she was under investigation when he appointed her. The full investigation was 2021. It came out, and here we are. She was only appointed last year. He knew about it. He must have known. Surely he's the president. Mm. And yet there she is as spokesperson, basically, of Parliament. She's in charge of the State Security Agency, this massive agency with a massive slush fund that has been, well, you were, I'm sure, listening into the Zondo Commission, you know exactly what was going on there. Yeah. And we've seen zero outcome, zero money paid back from the billions that were looted. And here she sits, and she's also head of so many other entities. She spends 5 minutes on each of the entities, and off she flips again. So this is a very serious allegation, and we can't possibly have someone with this cloud. It's a thunderstorm, not a cloud hanging over her head, as part of the cabinet. Just cannot be.
Are you confident, though, that the president will actually ask her to leave? You've seen what happened with, for instance, Minister Simelane. She was just reshuffled. Mm. She really wasn't fired, in a sense.
Well, I was horrified that he reshuffled. I don't know, quite pushed her sideways. No change in salary, no change in status. Simply take your crookery and shift it sideways, and there she sits running Home Affairs. It's absolutely ridiculous situation when it comes up. But look, we've seen Zizi Kodwa go. Who would have thought a year ago that you would have the former Speaker of the House in court, that you would have the mayor, ex-mayor of Etiquette in court, all of them for crooked, corrupt businesses that they got up to. So this process is now one step out of the court. And the moment it hits the courts, then there's no possible excuse. But it is the allegation of corruption, and that is what the step aside rule that they created is supposed to deal with.
Well, I mean, as we've seen before, it's not just an allegation that they act on. They literally have to wait, and they do wait for the charge to happen. And in this case, I suppose we probably have to wait and see if that actually comes through.
Well, it's now, I mean, the charges seem to be there already, and it's up to the National Prosecution Authority to decide whether it's actually a full case, if they have all the answers, if the hawks have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, completed the investigation. The hawks say they have, and so now we just sit and wait for the answer. But the evidence is enormous. And, you know, this is what we're lacking in terms of Parliament. All the portfolios have got a portfolio committee. You sit and grill the minister when something's going wrong. In the presidency, you have nothing. There's nothing.
Yes.
The executive has no accountability to anybody. So
no oversight.
That's why we raised a resolution to establish a parliamentary committee to oversee the presidency. Mm-hmm. And that was widely accepted in Parliament, except for the ANC and I think the IFP for some odd reason. Now, the National Assembly will have to vote on the resolution. It'll come up soon, as soon as we open. And we'll see how much and how strong the opposition of the ANC is in terms of dealing with corruption within the executive, because it's got to happen. No minister accused of corruption should be serving in cabinet. End of story. That's how it must be.
You mentioned Zuzukotwa and the former speaker, but there isn't consistency. You know, as I said to you, you know, I'm also looking at Minister Simelane, who nothing much happened to her. She was just moved to another portfolio. So again, I mean, as we look at this case and we are waiting to see whether the MPA will actually go ahead and charge her, there really isn't much consistency by the ANC itself in charging all these individuals the same way, or at least expelling them or removing them from cabinet if they are sitting in those cabinet roles.
I fear one is going to have to look under the covers, as it were, in terms of factions within the ANC, who supports whom, who are their biggest backers, who those people bring with them in terms of a Congress. It's far more complicated than simply dealing with it. I mean, you and I might look and say, this person's a crook, fire them. To me, it's that easy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, politics gets more and more murky as the Congresses approach.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa has an ANC Congress, I suppose, in a year or so. So there's always that look. But there's nothing to say he couldn't replace this minister with another pro-Cyril minister, if that's what he needs and wants. But to keep someone on, I was astounded at the Minister of Justice decision. Absolutely astounded. And you know, just when you think you're really progressing as a country, there's that sort of move. And moves like that are never going to get us out of grey listing. We're supposed to be dealing strongly with corruption, amongst a plethora of other things. And I just don't see that happening. And it's time that the president stood up and took these decisions, as irritating they may be to him personally, because he and Minister Ntshavheni are very close, and she ran his campaign, and she's, you know, kind of his right-hand person. But I'm sorry, that doesn't mean that she must be automatically cleared of wrongdoing. That's the court's job. But to carry that smoke and fire around the president, it has an impact on him as the leader of this country.
Dear MP and spokesperson on state security, Diane Colaburna, thank you so much for your time and that reaction on, as I said to you, they have written to the presidency asking the president to really deal with the issue of Minister Ntshavheni's corruption case. It has now been handed over to the NPA. The hawks have been working on this for a while. The EFF too have something to say on this now. Tambo EFF, a member of parliament as well. They also have thrown in their commentary on this matter. A very good evening, Mr. Tambo. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening and greetings to your listeners.
Your comment on the issue of Minister Ntshavheni and how you want the president to deal with it.
Look, we're not surprised. Minister Ntshavheni has a long history of compromising the integrity of the Cabinet of South Africa and the Cabinet of South Africa in general. She's been implicated in a misuse of taxpayers' money during the COVID period, where reports revealed that between 2019 and 2022, she spent almost 15 million along with her predecessor, Stellanda Benny-Williams, on travel and lodging. Over 15 million in the period where travel was actually restricted due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Before that, she was implicated while she was a board of Denel, the arms manufacturer of South Africa, in the removal of a board member there and the people there in order to appoint, rather the CEO there in order to appoint Gupta officials and compromising that entity as well. So the fact that while she was a municipal manager in Bapolorowa, local municipality in Limpopo, doesn't surprise us, where she was able to grant a tender after the bidding process had closed, and then expanding the work of that entity, that consultancy company, which was appointed from 500,000 rand to almost 2.3 million rand. It's something that changed the integrity of government, but we're not surprised, because she consistently survives, because she operates as almost a lieutenant of Cyril Ramaphosa. So the cause for her to be removed will fall on deaf ears. We have to rely on the National Prosecuting Authority to do its work and hopefully prosecute. But Cyril Ramaphosa has too much faith in Chaveni as a political operative of his own within the political party and within government for us to expect him to remove her. He hasn't done so in the past, and it would be naive to think he will in the future.
So you know, if there is no movement, what recourse do we have?
Look, I think what we can do in the interim is to observe whether the National Prosecuting Authority will opt to prosecute or not to prosecute based on the referral from the Hawks. But we know that criminal institutions like our judiciary, the Limpopo High Court, has described the awarding of the tender by Njabeni when she was a municipal manager as repugnant and devastating, which was a damning finding that it referred to the Hawks. And we'd like to think that the Hawks as well would make the necessary investigative conclusions that would lead to prosecution. So if the National Prosecuting Authority doesn't prosecute, then we'll have to be able to explore methods such as private prosecution, which is something that we're exploring with Gwede Mantashe in relation to the Pusasa tender contract as well.
So you are considering going a private prosecution way?
Absolutely. But we have to observe first and foremost, because private prosecution, you have to get the necessary approval and make the necessary arguments in that regard as well. So we want to observe whether the NPA will prosecute or not, and then we'll take it from there.
I suppose, you know, you also probably have to be a little bit more patient if you're going to be waiting for the NPA. You know the stories, you know how they explain the delays. You know, what time frames are you looking at?
Look, it's already taken 4 years for the Hawks, because she was reported in 2021. And it's already taken 4 years for the Hawks to conclude its investigations, and the NPA seems to be trying to up its ante in terms of investigating corruption cases. They've included additional members to their prosecuting capacity in order to ensure that they strengthen their prosecuting capacity, rather. And we hope that will be able to happen within this year, so that they can show that they have teeth against corruption. But another concern that we have, and we've been raising several, is the fact that the president is the only one who has the power to appoint heads of investigative institutions, such as the public protector, such as the head of the constitutional court, such as the head of the NPA. Might be a factor as to why corruption cases are not handled speedily, because the people who are appointed to handle matters speedily of corruption are actually appointed by people who are practicing corruption in the form of Ramaphosa, when it comes to people like Ntshavheni, where they are under his patronage. And we might find that delays investigative processes. So there's just a general review on how these matters are handled in terms of government, in terms of the appointees who must investigate government officials.
I mean, I made the point earlier with Diana Colabona that, you know, we've seen what happened with Minister Similane. She was just moved sideways, and the issue seems to have just died down. Are you really confident that something will come about? And you've mentioned the fact that you are slightly confident with the NPA, but also raised issues with what could be an issue. Generally, as the EFF, are you confident that this thing will sort of get some sort of attention and we'll see justice?
We'll have to be aggressive as the opposition within parliament as well, and exercise other methods to ensure that she's held accountable, possibly approach the public protector as well as an institution. But Cyril Ramaphosa has shown that his anti-corruption and renewal agenda is nothing but a farce. People always find themselves re-emerging in other different positions. And he plays on the fact that South Africans seem to have a short memory when it comes to corruption. But we hope now that South Africans are able to see that there's no consequence for corruption within the African National Congress and within government, especially under the tenure of Cyril Ramaphosa. Those he trusts the most with his own political experience within the former ruling party are protected, they're shifted sideways, as you mentioned, and they are ensured that they are able to recreate themselves and reimagine themselves in other means. I mean, there's Kusela Diko. We don't know how the matter concluded with her, but we see her now as chairing the Committee of Communications in Parliament.
Yeah.
So people are given a sort of, they put on ice, but they always reemerge now, some way or another. And she was involved in COVID-19 corruption, where there was death involved in the pandemic that was globally disastrous. Yet people are able to reemerge under Cyril Ramaphosa. So any faith in him to act is naive, and I think the attempts by the DA are just something to posture about them speaking out or doing something so that they're not seen as complicit. But they know very well that Ramaphosa won't do anything.
So now, Tambo, thank you so much for your time, EFF Member of Parliament. Thank you very much for your take as well there. Look, I mean, I'd really love to hear your take on this one, 086-00-00959. We've seen this before, and it wasn't that long ago when there was an uproar about Minister Simelane, and there really was an expectation that she'd be asked to step down, but she was moved sideways. So let me just ask you, 086-00-00959, do you really believe that Minister Ntshavheni will be asked to step down based on sort of what we've seen happen before? The MPA now has a file. They're going to have to make a decision on whether they can prosecute or not. We'll have to wait and see. I suppose it's the same with Minister Simelane. So do you though think the president will ask her to step down? That for me is the million-dollar question.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.